Monday, November 14th, and this is Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Today we're going to talk about all the websites we read and how we read them.
Let's do this.
So today I'm sitting at work. I don't know, it must have been like 10, 11 a.m., something like that.
Yeah.
And we hear this music coming outside.
Music?
Like a concert in the street.
Wait a minute, what story are you on?
We're on the 14th story.
And the windows don't open, do they?
They do, but they were only a little bit open. But even when we closed them all the way, we still kind of heard the concert.
Uh-huh.
We didn't know what the concert was. And being far away and, you know, acoustics of streets not being perfect, awesome concert halls, we didn't know what the hell it was. At first, we thought it was like some random band. The second song sounded like Springsteen, you know. So we sent someone down to the street to check it out.
Yep.
So then I sent them with my nice new camera, you know.
So you gave them your camera.
I gave them the camera to go, you know, and they went down to the street. And we found out that the Country Music Awards are in Madison Square Garden tomorrow.
Okay.
So Garth Brooks was on the top of the Madison Square Garden Penn Station entrancey thing playing music.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of weird, because he wasn't that good. I didn't even know who it was, but then I was remembered. I was like, that's the guy who won't put his songs on iTunes, because he only releases albums, and he doesn't want to divide his tracks. And, you know, they got some pictures. We put them on the Flickr.
So he's basically going to be kind of like the Metallica of online music.
I think he is the Metallica of
Well, other than Metallica, who is the Metallica of online music.
Yeah, but anyway, you know, the camera is like, I didn't have a digital camera, but I wanted one. And then I got the phone camera, and I was like, oh, yeah, I don't need a real camera now. Who cares about quality as long as I get the picture? Then the phone camera really didn't cut it. And now that I got this digital camera, which isn't even, like, the greatest one, it's much, much more than I ever needed or wanted. But now it's like, oh, yeah, pictures, videos.
Yeah, I got to get one at some point. I mean, my cell cam is the crap, and I can't get the pictures off of it.
Oh, right. You didn't get the cable that I got.
Because there's no cable for my phone.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I got some off-brand phone. It's an AudioVox because it was cheap. Yeah. And it turns out that no one even bothered to make a pirate cable for the AudioVox that I have.
Wow. There must be a cable somewhere. It's probably just not as easy to get one from the same way.
I found one site that claimed to have one. One and only one site. And it looked so shady, I wouldn't even consider giving them a credit card.
I wouldn't consider giving anything shady a credit card.
I mean, I'll give Lick Sang my money, and that's really about as low as I'll go.
I'd sooner buy another brand of cable and then modify it than go to the shady website.
Yeah. I don't even know if the software on the Linux will even support my phone. My phone's weird.
Well, BitPim has a list of phones it supports. If you're on the list, you're good.
I'm not on the list.
Oh, well then.
You don't realize how hard it was to even find out what my phone actually is? The phone doesn't
Isn't it
say,
like a saying whatever?
No, it's an AudioVox PM number, 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 number.
All right.
Doesn't say it anywhere on the phone. It just says Qualcomm on the phone.
Qualcomm makes the chip in the phone.
I know. It says Qualcomm on the phone. It says Sprint on the phone. I eventually found a picture of my phone online. And under that picture, I discovered the actual phone that I had and what company made it.
Wow. When I got my phone, it was just like the generic whatever phone they had, because they had a choice between a camera and a speakerphone, and I got the camera. It's just a Samsung whatever, but it works great with the cable and the software and everything.
So you remember the trouble I had? I didn't want a camera, and I couldn't get a phone without one.
Yeah, when I went to get this phone, you could still get one without a camera.
Well, yeah, there were a couple that didn't have the camera, but they were really, really crappy phones. And yeah. I didn't want a non-camera for any Luddite reason. I technically can't have a camera at work.
Well, you get away with it now.
Well, yeah, because I just don't take pictures of anything, but technically it's against the rules.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Not take pictures of sensitive things.
And not have a phone is the other choice.
Yeah, but it's kind of a pain, because like when you go to Otakon, even if you have a camera in your cell phone, they won't let you take your cell phone into the art area. I took it in anyway when they weren't looking. And they
never checked me.
They asked me, they're like, hey, you got a cell phone. Does it have a camera on it? And I said, no. And they didn't look.
Yeah. I figure I could just, I wouldn't, I'd bring my digital camera and stuff in there because they never checked me for anything when I was there last year, but I wouldn't actually use it.
Yeah.
But I just like, don't want to have to go through the inconvenience of bringing it out, bringing it in, bringing it out.
See, when I went to KatsuCon and they had Psycho Le Samu there, and they checked everyone, and if you had a cell phone with a camera in it, they wouldn't let you in.
Well, bad.
And if they caught you with one in there, they kicked you out.
Well, see, I would have just, you know, let me bring it in and I won't use it. You
but
know?
They can't see if you use it or not. They don't want you to bring it in.
Well, yeah, I mean, seriously, that's true. But
it
I
doesn't
mean,
help that as much as I love Japanese music, Japanese musicians seem to be really, really afraid of cameras.
Well, knowing how crazy Japanese people are with cameras, I can't really blame them.
Except in the city when I saw Despair's Ray, we were taking pictures the whole time and they didn't seem to care.
They must have been a smaller band.
Of course, they're a very, like, they're actually a pretty big band, but they're very loud and very punk. And they spit on the audience at the end.
Okay.
Yeah. So I can say that I was spit on by the lead singer. It was, they spit like water. Like the kind of thing Rammstein always does.
Rammstein doesn't spit water.
Yeah, they do.
They
spit fire. Nah, fire with water. Water with fire. Fake urine.
Excretions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real excretion. No. Rammstein's big on the fire.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people say you can't actually see them in the U.S. because they can't do all the
I don't even think they do the shows in the U.S. anymore. I don't remember when they did a show, period.
They've done a few in the U.S.
Done.
I have some friends who went to them.
Yeah, but the shows in, like, Germany and Canada have, like, crazy fires.
Well, yeah, because Germany and Canada don't try to protect their citizens from themselves.
Mmm, good plan.
You want to go watch some crazy guy with fire?
Maybe that's why their citizens are less stupid because a lot more of the stupid ones are dead.
Well, I think it's personified by the one time I went up to Canada, and I remember there was a cliff next to this restaurant, and there was a little sign. And the sign didn't say, like, keep away, or danger, stay away from this, or you'll get in trouble if you walk over here. It said, warning, cliff, we're not responsible if you hurt yourself.
Eh?
There was no fence, there was nothing. It was just a cliff and a
little
sign.
In America, if you had that same sign, in fact, no matter how many signs and railings you had, if someone fell over and didn't die by some miracle, or even if they died, their family could still sue you for having a cliff.
Your only hope is if the whole family falls off and dies. Then they can't
sue
you.
And all the friends and relatives.
And everyone who ever cared about them.
And their boss.
The boss would probably not sue. He probably wouldn't even know.
You destroyed my most valuable employee with your dangerous cliff.
I somehow doubt that your most valuable employee was dumb enough to fall off a cliff.
Could be a real dumb company.
So, anyway, I see that Warner Brothers is trying to actually jump onto this whole internet thing.
Are they doing it properly?
Actually, they're doing it more properly than I would ever expected from a company connected to AOL.
Eh?
They're offering 100 TV shows. For free.
100 TV shows? Every episode?
It doesn't say.
Because, I mean, 100 episodes of 100 different shows is kind of eh. 100 full shows, beginning to end, that's something.
Well, this is the pilot, and it's supposed to expand after they see how well this goes.
All right, so someone finally put out the shows in great enough number. Is it free?
It's free. The only downsides are, they haven't said exactly yet, but it looks like you either have to use their proprietary player or something's kind of like iTunes in that it's not really super DRM, but they'll know what you watch. Like, you can't just download an album.
Or their ads.
There are 1 to 2 minutes of ads per episode. And
1 to 2 minutes is good compared to TV.
God,
are
TV,
they,
where it's like...
Are they going to up it?
I don't know.
That's
this is brand
new. One question is, are they going to up the ads? Is the DRM evil or okay?
It seems to be okay. The one
will
cool
it work
thing,
on the Linux and other things?
The one thing that's really cool is that it's effectively a BitTorrent. Because when you download it, part of the requirement is that the player and the downloader act as servers for other people who want to download the content, thus saving AOL all that bandwidth.
Well, you know what? It's all good because you know what? No matter how evil the DRM is, within a week of it coming out, someone will have cracked it, and they'll remove the commercials, and they'll put it in an AVI, a normal, you know, MPEG-4 file, and they'll share it on the real BitTorrent, and everyone will be happy.
What I wonder is, are they going to support the Linux?
If they don't support the Linux, we just have to wait for that crack guy to help us out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then we'll download all the files or whatever, you know, and then convert them so we can actually watch them, and we'll be good. I mean, in 100 shows, there's got to be at least one show we want to watch.
Yeah, possibly. The problem is, all the shows I really want to watch, not many other people want to watch.
I don't know. I saw that they were going to have that Fugitive show that I never saw.
Ah, I've only seen a little bit of that. My dad used to watch it.
Yeah, Rudy told me to watch it. So, Google came out with a website statistics thingy today called Google Analytics.
Does it do anything more than like AW Stats does?
It looks a lot fancier and cleaner than AW Stats, and it looks like it provides more accurate information because it's not a log parser.
Uh-huh.
What it is JavaScript, and anyone who visits your web page, the JavaScript kind of grabs them, and it uses Google, which, you know, what better could you use than Google to help it out and figure out, you know, visitors, how long they stay, everything it can figure out. The only thing is, I don't think it works better than AW Stats enough to merit adding the JavaScript to your site and then sharing all your information with Google.
Yeah, see, I trust Google.
Yeah.
Google already knows a lot about me. Google has figured out where I live. They figured out that I have two Gmail accounts, and they seem to have figured out that they're both the same person.
Yeah, but imagine now Google's not only going to have all that, but they're going to have all these statistics about people visiting. They're just going to be able to now...
Wait. Google's going to have statistics about people visiting websites.
Well, they had statistics about people searching. Now they actually... Imagine if every site on the internet used this. Google would know everything that everyone is looking at for how long and everything.
Now, see, I'm kind of fine with that because I still trust him.
Still, but, you know, he gets more Big Brother every day. It's like if you had Big Brother, but he didn't do anything. He knows everything, does nothing.
But see, I'm 50-50 on the whole Big Brother thing. See, I dislike the idea of, like, a government watching everything I do and going after me. But at the same time, if it were accessible to everyone, where everyone can see what everyone's up to, that'd be great because no one could lie anymore.
Yep, but here's the one thing, though, I worry about Google. I'm not worried so much that Google will take all their hordes and hordes of information and do something evil. I'm worried that someone will come around, like a government, and say, oh, Google, we got you, and now we're taking all your information, we're looking at it.
You know what I think Google would do?
I'll
bet they've got a contingency for that. They would probably just jump ship and be out of this country within a week.
I don't know, but still, it's kind of, you know, just the fact that it's there. It's like, there's nukes, and you might be 100% sure your government's never actually going to go and have a war with them. But they're there.
Yeah, that's why I said I'm 50-50. I'm ambivalent. I really don't know either way.
Yeah, so I'll stick with the AW stats because it's good enough for my needs.
Yeah, but I mean, I'd say we would switch to it if Google offered something that we couldn't do or if it was worth it.
Yeah.
It's always the trade-off, and if it's worth the trade-off, I'll do it.
Well, the thing is, I would also use it if I use the Google AdWords because it's integrated with the AdWords.
Ah, yeah.
And so if you're the guy who makes, like, you know, $1,000 a month from the Google ads and stuff on your site, it's definitely worth it to use this instead of your whatever other stat thingies.
Yeah, even though I'm generally very much against the ads.
I'm against the ads too, but it pays off a lot, and
it's
pretty unintrusive and easy. You know, and a lot of people who websites you wouldn't have otherwise.
But
you
I got to admit,
survive on a little tiny AdWord.
Like a lot of people say, oh, I only block annoying ads. I block all ads.
I block
Google AdSense.
I block every ad I can block. Every last one.
The only ads I can't block are the ones in The Escapist, and I don't really care. I just skip them.
Yeah, one day I'll find out how to block those.
See, I don't mind them so much because The Escapist is like reading a magazine. And when I read a magazine, the ads don't even register. It's just I flip the page again, and then I continue reading.
Yep. You know, actually, Marvel Comics recently, they made their ads a lot better. They put them all at the end of the comic book now.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so now it's just like, read. Hey, there's a bunch of pages left. Oh, no, actually, I'm done. Which actually adds a bonus because now you're not sure when you're near the end. Before, you'd be like, oh, it's almost over.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, you know, it ends, you don't know when the end is coming, which kind of improves it.
Plus, you always had to shift gears. Like, I'm reading a comic, ad.
Yep. No more. It's all good now.
And the Xbox 360 list of games was released.
I think, you know, we knew a bunch of the games already, but I guess this is the now must be a complete
official
list.
This is the official list, as far as I can tell.
Games that will be out the same day the system comes out?
Yes, and there's a whole bunch of them, and they're almost all sports games.
Well, sports games are easy to make.
There's FIFA, Madden, two NBAs, NHL.
Wait, two NBAs, are they both from EA?
NBA 2K6 from 2K Sports, and NBA Live 06 from EA.
Okay. So they put the whole EA Sports line right away.
Yep, and a couple racing games. Ridge Racer, Project Gotham Racing.
Well, Gotham Racing I never played, but that's a real popular Xbox racing, but it's not my kind of racing.
See, I played it once, and it reminds me a lot of those racing games I hate.
Oh.
I really can't elaborate more than that. It's the very linear, it's more a game of avoiding obstacles than a game of knowing to how to take the proper line.
Like Rush Racing?
Yeah.
Cruising
kinda.
Something? I never played it, so I don't know, but I know about it.
I played it once or twice. I didn't like it.
Ridge Racer's okay. It could be good.
Yeah.
But there's no wheel.
I got to say, though, the last Ridge Racer I played was 1.
We played Ridge Racer 2 or 3 at Jersey.
No, it was broken,
well,
remember?
I played half of it.
Yeah, you played half of it. I played the broken half, and I couldn't move because I couldn't get out of first gear.
People got to maintain their arcade machines.
Oh, and that gun game we've been seeing ads for everywhere.
I found out today what that game actually is.
What is it?
It's GTA in the Wild West.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's it. That's all it is.
And there's a Perfect Dark Zero.
Yeah, actually, that's a game I kind of want to play.
That's pretty much the only game in the lineup that I'm actually kind of interested in.
Because I played Perfect Dark in the N64, and it was like GoldenEye +++. And now they got that, which I think, if it's good, it'll be GoldenEye +++.
Yeah.
It's at least Halo +++.
See, I'm not really too hating on the Xbox 360. I mean, it's not that bad a system, especially compared to the PS3.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get one of the controllers if it's good enough and plug it in, because they're making controllers of Xbox 360 for the PC.
Yeah.
It's going to be like the standard controller.
It's got to be better than our GamePad Pro.
Yeah.
Which is great, except that it always hits the diagonal buttons, which is bad for old school.
Well, it's really
NES
just a
games.
Sticky. The plus part is no good.
Because it's not actually a plus, it's a circle.
Yeah,
with
back in the day, the original Gravis GamePad, which I still have, was great. And then they finally made them PlayStation style with the Gravis grip. And I had the Gravis grip, and it was great, but it broke. And then they came out with the USB ones. So I got the USB one, and it's really cheap. But it works really well, but it's really cheap.
Yeah, though I'd rather have, what I want to get is one of those Lixang adaptery things, and just have a Super Nintendo controller.
Super Nintendo controller is good, but doesn't have the analog.
See, that's fine, because there currently aren't any games that require analog that I can easily emulate. I mean, we actually have a PS1.
But here's the thing you're not thinking about. We get some, like, Atari emulator all of a sudden, You want to play, like, a little flight sim, like a Star Fox? You know, Star Fox doesn't need analog, but it helps it a lot. Get an N64 emulator on there, you need an analog right away, or else you're screwed.
Yeah, if we get an N64 emulator, which we don't have yet. So, you know what? We'll burn that bridge after we cross it.
Yeah. I saw a thing yesterday about the, there's an N64, they modded the ROM of Zelda 64 to increase the resolution and the textures.
Oh, and I was worried you were going to say something like Awful Fantasy.
No, it looks really bright and colorful, it's pretty cool.
Huh.
It's a lot better than the fake HDTV that some of the 360 games are doing.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big marketing things for the Xbox 360 is that, oh, it's HD. In fact, it has to be HD. Games can't come out that aren't HD. And I think when on Slashdot, we saw that a bunch of games aren't actually HD. They just upsample after they do all the rendering.
Yep. Oh, there's 1 pixel, but the resolution needs to be 4 times as big. Well, we'll just put a bunch of pixels of the same color to make a big pixel. All right. So, Douglas Rushkoff, my favorite
hero?
Dude here.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
I like
pretty
him.
Cool.
He's a good dude.
He's a good dude. Right, not a lot of people know about him, but he's got a new book.
A new book, eh?
It's called Get Back in the Box, Innovation from the Inside Out. And the book's pretty much, the main idea of the book is all you stupid companies doing marketing and branding and all that other crap, just make your product not suck. Do a Google. But that's the main idea. But it has a lot of stuff about one of Rushkoff's favorite ideas of mine is the social currency. You know what the social currency is, right? Didn't I explain that to you?
We got some friends who use social currency.
Yeah. So social currency is, let's say you go to the store and you buy a video game, right? Now, sure, you're going to use the video game to play it for what it is and get entertainment out of it, right? But the video game can also act as social currency.
It's like a magnet that'll bring people to you.
Well, it's not really a magnet to bring people to you.
Well, it's a magnet to get people around.
No, it's not to get people. It's you use it, you have social interaction through the item or through the brand. So a good example is, let's say you get a Mazda car, right? A rice car, right? And whereas normally the companies are thinking that you want to have a conversation, you know, with them about the stuff, right? Now what you do with social currency is you use the products and the brands as something you talk through to other people. So, you know, you meet another Ricer guy, and you can use your car or your, you know, brand or your items or your T-shirt or whatever to make it as a pathway for social interaction.
Great. My fin is bigger than yours. Yeah, well, my fart pipe is bigger than yours.
That's exactly it. And, you know, it's really cool stuff. And if you like reading nonfiction and that sort of thing, it's a good book.
Have you read it?
No, but I might win it because there was a contest.
You know, I might win the lottery.
No. There was a contest of who could give the best example of social currency, and I submitted an entry. We'll see if I win.
Uh-huh.
I submitted Nintendo because, I mean, talk about the T-shirts with the mushrooms on them. It doesn't get more social currency than that. You know, and the Nintendo DS, I mean, talk about it. Not only are you talking through the brand with the Nintendo DS, you're talking with the product that is the brand through the brand. It doesn't get better than that.
You know, speaking of the DS, tomorrow...
Mario Kart. Yeah, there might not be a podcast tomorrow.
Yeah, see, the last time a game like this came out, we disappeared from the world for a while.
What game was that?
Advance Wars DS.
Oh, God!
We were in Wildwood at the Jersey Shore, and instead of swimming and playing DDR or In the Groove 2 on the boardwalk, we were all sitting in the beach house. We could hear the beach through the window. We were in the beach house playing Advance Wars.
Mm-hmm. We went to the store like 3 times for like 3 days.
We almost bought the store out. There were so many of us.
We bought 6 copies.
And we also bought a DS among all of us. 2 DSs, in fact.
Well, didn't they buy those at Target, I think?
Oh, yeah, because the store was sold out of the Advance Wars. They didn't have it yet. So we went to the Target and got the DSs. Then we went back to the other store the next day and got the games.
Oh, yeah. Those are good days.
Good days.
So, yeah, Mario Kart's got the Wi-Fi. I'm going to be playing against people that I know far away.
Yeah.
For many hours. And I'm going to practice every day on the train and become just as good as that as I was at GBA Mario Kart.
Yeah, you're already pretty damn good at Mario Kart, I got to say.
Everyone will bow down before my mad skills.
I mean, I can't deny that you're good at Mario Kart.
I'm only really good at the Game Boy one and the SNES one. The N64 one I'm okay at, but the computer cheats and I don't like it. And the GameCube one I haven't played enough, but if I did, I could probably get good at it.
I didn't like the GameCube one, and I remember the SNES one was the only one I played a lot.
The SNES one was good. The Game Boy one was like the perfection of the SNES one. And the N64 one was just kind of bleh. I'm worried, though, because there's one track in the N64 one where you can cheat. And that track is in the DS one, so I'm hoping that they took out the cheating. It's like there's a way to do a shortcut, but it's not like, you know, normally the shortcuts in Mario Kart are like, look, here's a shortcut, but it's hard to take, and it's obviously hard to take, and it's semi hidden, but not so hidden.
Yeah, like you'll see a kind of path that goes cuts a corner, but it's hard to see if you can actually go there.
Yeah, or there'll be like a thing that you can hit if you hit it with a mushroom, it'll obviously make you jump over a bad thing to save time, you know. But this was like, there are some hills. And if you use a mushroom on one of the hills in the right way and push a button, you can go over something you're obviously not supposed to go over. It's kind of like a cheap trick thing.
There have been cheaper things.
Yeah, there have been cheaper things, but I still don't like it.
You know, getting off the pad, the power pad, and then getting back on?
That's not so cheap. You're supposed to do that. No one can jump the way that game wants you to jump.
So I had a bunch of things of the day. And I had to settle on one.
That's kind of weird. I didn't have really any things of the day. I had to take
all my things are kind of old, and this one's kind of old, too.
I had to take something from Saturday.
A good friend of mine actually put this, I think it was their away message or something, and I ended up looking at it. And apparently at some point, someone made this like Mario Brothers playset where you could take little sprites of Mario characters and stick them around.
Like color forms?
Something like that.
Oh, right.
So something awful in all of its infinite glory.
Awfulness?
Had a semi-contest where people would make flash animations to these things.
I love it when they do that.
And they range from interesting to hilarious to frighteningly disturbing.
That sounds about right for something awful.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely no Lord of the Rings on the go.
Denethor.
Denethor. Potato.
Potato.
The Ford of Kings is reforged.
Or a video games.
Oh, video game characters gone bad?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh, I'll warn you, some of these might be offensive.
It's something awful.
Yeah.
It's the name of the website, but and it's also literal in its meaning.
Yeah.
So, my thing of the day is something I saw on Saturday. And in 1995, they were replacing Windows 3.1 with Windows 95. And, you know, they were they had a little show to show off their DirectX, you know, DirectX 1.
Ah.
And at the show, they were really trying to push to the developers and to the people that Windows 95 was the platform for gaming, you know. They even went so far as to say things like DOS was seriously screwed up for gaming. People couldn't install games or anything. It was terrible. They, like, put down their own old stuff in a bad way to push the Windows 95 and the DirectX.
Even though we still play those DOS games in DOS emulators.
Yeah, but anyway, looking back, I guess it worked. I mean, DirectX and Windows, you know, got the games until today where PC gaming's gone down, but that's their own fault also, and that's not the point. The point is that at the show, they showed this little video. It was a little video of Bill Gates. A little video of Bill Gates standing in a level of Doom with a shotgun with demons around. And he was talking about DirectX, and, like, he shot a zombie at one point, and, you know, he said all this stuff that was kind of corny, and he was wearing this trench coat, and it's hilarious.
This sounds utterly hilarious.
You gotta watch this video.
I can't believe I never knew of this.
I didn't know of it either, because the story is that it was shown once and only once at this conference-y presentation thing with a bunch of developers, and it was never shown anywhere else.
How could we not know? I mean, we're the kind of people
because it wasn't out, and now finally a guy, like, got it, and it got on the internet suddenly on Saturday.
Well, you know, we're probably going to end up memorizing whatever funny bits are in it, like we have with every other
meme. It's not
ever.
Really a thing of memorizing catchphrases. This is Bill Gates here.
No, coin bag!
No coin bag.
No, lobster magnet.
No lobster magnet.
Or Hamagagauchi.
No, I think you have the wrong idea about this video.
I still want to see it.
You should see it. It's hilarious, but it's not a catchy thing. But Bill Gates with a shotgun, you'll never see that again. So today we decided to talk about, you know, all the different websites that we read and how we read them and such. But yep. We couldn't really think of a way to start talking about that. So bleh.
So consider the aforementioned a segue.
Segue!
Woo!
So let's start by talking about probably the number one website we visited for, it must be 6-7 years I've been reading this website.
Yeah, Slashdot?
Slashdot.
Slashdot.
So, Slashdot is, you know, I guess news for nerds.
I doubt there are many people who listen to this who don't know what Slashdot is.
Yeah. Slashdot has its problems, and it has its good points. And I still read it, but not as much as I used to.
Yeah, it's my primary source of tech news.
Yeah, but nowadays,
not
like
tech breaking news, like, oh, something happened, but more like, here's the actual information about something that happened.
But you don't actually get the actual information in the edited
oh,
Slashdot
no.
store. You get
God
it in
no.
the comments. But, you
the
know,
comments are the only reason I read Slashdot.
Yeah, and sometimes to post a comment, but I used to post comments like crazy, but now not so much.
Yeah, I realized I haven't posted in a while. Not since I tried my All+5 scam.
It wasn't really a scam.
It wasn't really a scam.
It was a challenge.
It was a thought experiment. Because I noticed that the one thing about Slashdot is that certain kinds of posts always get +5.
The wordy post that says the obvious thing before anyone else says it right away.
But there's like a formula. It's like you start out by saying something obvious. Then you expound on it. Then you say something a little funny. And then you say something a little profound. Then you say something a little funny again. So I decided that I was going to try to fill my history, my little comments thing, with nothing but +5s.
You got to post early, though. That's the trick.
Yeah, you have to post within the first 40 comments, or the odds of getting a +5 drop precipitously.
Yeah, no one will see it, so no one will mod it up.
And I did at one point get nothing but +5s. I had like 19 in a row, and then I stopped caring because the problem with doing this was so many times I'd see something and I'd want to reply to it, like, that guy's dumb, I have to put him in his place, or I know something funny about this, but I'd always think, but will that get a +5?
See, now here's the thing, if everyone on Slashdot thought that way, That would be great. Slash, that would be like this awesome haven of like awesome, awesome posting.
There wouldn't be any more GNAA.
There wouldn't be any more old Koreans or...
In Soviet old Korea, Russians use email.
Yeah. None of that.
Thing is, there isn't so much of that anymore.
It's all in the polls and in the minuses now.
Which is fine, because when I go into the polls, I expect that.
Yeah, I guess so. But the poll hasn't updated, really. They're getting kind of lax on Slashdot. I think they're kind of dwindling.
Well, I think it's more that all the people who used to go to Slashdot for the breaking news, because for a long time, Slashdot was like the quickest news in the world.
Well,
for geeks.
There was quicker news, but you had to go around to get it.
But now you have things like Fark and Dig, and I go to Slashdot for the comments now, but not necessarily for the news.
I think Dig might actually be hurting Slashdot. I mean, ever since I started reading Dig, I kind of go to Slashdot even less.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like everything from Slashdot, all the same news, but without the bad parts of Slashdot. And there's still comments, but they're not, you know, they're not huge comments like on Slashdot. They're just little tiny blog-type comments.
See, that's the thing. The one thing Slashdot really has that I like is whenever there's a story that's kind of vague or a story that may be misleading or a story that's outright wrong, almost right away someone posts to the effect of, all right, here's the real deal. And by reading the comments, I can usually find out what's actually going on.
Yeah, Dig doesn't have that so much because the comments are kind of weak. But what it does have is the quality stories with quality descriptions with speed. And you can tell how good the story is by how many digs it has. So the stories with like 2,000 digs, those are the hot topics. On Slashdot, you can't tell one story from the other except by the number of comments, which isn't as good as...
Well, the problem is that the number of comments is always either almost none, about 100, or a crazy number.
Yeah. With the number of digs, you can really tell what the big news is, you know? Like, I often, someone will think that something's a huge story, and I won't think it's a huge story, but then I'll find out I was wrong, or they were wrong. Dig, there's no question. That has 2,000 digs, that's huge freaking news. That has 80 digs, that's a normal whatever story.
Yep.
You know? And it's just pretty awesome.
What of course, the sister site, not really a sister site, but the sister site in terms of the two major sites I read every day, Fark.
I don't read Fark.
Yeah, it's probably better that you don't.
Yeah.
Fark is, I mean, Fark has an RSS feed, but Fark basically just is an RSS feed. It's just articles appear with funny headlines, and the comments are just this no man's land of stupid, funny, inside, oh really, yeah, really jokes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
We made the whole really joke.
We're using the internets.
Making all really jokes. All
right, I got a question out to our listeners, and I hope I don't sound ignorant, but you know the haha guy? I assume you all know the haha guy. It's this picture of this Quaker, and the text says, haha, I'm using the internet. And then there are variations like, haha, oh really, yeah really, or whatever. Where did that Quaker guy come from?
No one knows where the Quaker guy came from.
I can't find it anywhere. The earliest one I find is the haha guy making an internet joke.
That's it. There isn't a nerd. No one knows.
That's like the only meme out there that I can't find the origin of, and it's really bothering me.
Maybe the Wikipedia knows.
I looked, and I didn't really find anything. Wikipedia had an origin of everything else.
There must be a meme-opedia.
In fact, there is a Wikipedia page dedicated specifically to the YTMND fad culture.
I didn't even know what YTMND was, but I saw YTMNDs, and then I discovered YTMND, and now it's just bleh.
Yeah, it was funny back when we saw one and we didn't know what it was and we couldn't fathom why someone would make a website like
that.
The
first and best one that I ever saw.
Pi-May?
Pi-May.
Pi-May stole your eyeball.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but Fark, honestly, other than Drudge, is probably the most breaking news site in terms of if there's big news in the world, it'll be on Fark right away.
And if there's hilarious news in the world, it'll be on Fark right away.
Yeah. See, the scary thing is Fark is the primary resource of almost every radio show in America. I mean, listen to the read Fark one day and listen to like some morning zoo show, like Opus and someone or blah 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 and his crew. And they just read Fark like word for word and then they make jokes that are exactly the jokes made in the comments on Fark.
I'm sure some of them realize they're just doing Fark. But there's some that don't even know. Like, the producer would just be like, send them a printout of a web page with a story on it. And all that guy does is go to FARC and print out, like, 10 funny stories.
I mean, if my job were find funny things on the internet, I'd just troll FARC all day.
Yeah, that's what the guy does. Because FARC is funny news stories that anyone will laugh at. So the guy, the producers of radio shows, just print out stories from FARC, hand them to the DJs. The DJs in the morning read them. People laugh and think the show's great. Because if you listen to a morning radio show, you don't read the internet. You don't read FARC. If you did, you would realize and you would just read FARC.
Yeah. The one contribution FARC seems to really make to the internet is that this is where all those meme-type things seem to breed. It's like a little primordial soup of memes and stupid things.
No, because if you look way back, like... You know, sure, there might have been an All Your Base on FARC at some point, but it didn't breed on FARC.
No, I'm talking in recent days.
Well, but those things mostly stay on FARC. You don't see the ha-ha and the oh really going anywhere else.
Actually, what's scary is I'm starting to see them more and more on Slashdot.
Because Slashdot doesn't really post pictures, so that really cuts it down.
Yeah, but very often someone still posts something to the effect of, oh really? Ha-ha.
Yeah, they get modded way down, though. FARC doesn't have the modding
so
much.
Yeah, well, see, I read at way low moderation.
I got, like, if you're less than +2, forget you.
I read at 0. I don't read at -1, but I read at 0.
0 is scary stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, what can I say? I don't, see, -1 is all the GNAA.
I don't get the GNAA.
I found it funny the first time I saw it.
I even know what it is. I just see people typing it.
You know what it stands for?
What? It stands for something? It's not just a noise? Nah.
Basically what it is it is the, it's called the Gay Nigger Alliance.
Oh.
And all it is this trollish, like, it's so stupid, it's silly, and it's almost kind of funny, but not really. And it's just this long text thing that repeats itself often. And the trolls just post it verbatim over and over and over and over again. Like, the trolling on Slashdot isn't even... It's not trolling. It's crap flooding. Because trolls try to get a rise out of someone. The Slashdot people, no one sees their posts. They just do it anyway.
Maybe they have an automatic thing that just does it.
Yeah, but Slashdot blocks netblocks, and they do a lot of things to keep those people away. Those people keep at it.
Wow.
I don't know why. I can't fathom it.
Maybe they're just nutty.
I mean, I'll admit, I'm often a troll on FARC. I will often bother. I will often say things just to watch people get angry. But you can't troll Slashdot because people are usually smart enough to be like, oh, he's a troll, and they mod you down, or they just don't listen to you.
Yeah. Or they'll reply to you a bunch, but it'll just disappear off the front comment page.
Yeah, but no one crap floods FARC. Why do they crap flood Slashdot?
I don't know. Maybe because more people read Slashdot. I don't know.
It's the only place I see that kind of thing.
It's because Slashdot lets you post a lot of text in your comment. Other
True.
Sites, the design of the site or the way the comments work is not conducive to putting a huge comment. Slashdot, you can put a freaking essay in there. And they do. Many times.
Yeah.
So, what other favorite sites do we have besides news sites?
One of my favorites is always Delicious.
Delicious isn't really a news site,
well, all right,
but
fine.
It's
Delicious.
Definitely the most useful, one of the most useful sites there
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I mean, Delicious Popular is a good way to see, what's new on the internet.
Yeah, but it's mostly webby things and
yeah.
Or really cool, like, free stuff and, you know.
It's nice because, like, whenever I post something, because anything I'm going to talk about on this podcast, I usually just I put it in my Delicious so I remember it.
A lot of people don't know how Delicious works, and it's hard to use, and that's part of what makes the Popular so useful is that only people who are smart enough to use Delicious, you know, get their stuff into the Popular
section. I
mean,
you go to Delicious, and it says what it is, but it doesn't explain exactly what to do.
Yeah.
Which was fine because most, like, Slashdot type people just figured out, like, oh, / my name tells me, oh, and oh, / tag, / blah, oh, this is really cool.
Yeah, so I used to back in the day when I found you find a bookmark of a website, like Slashdot, that you visit every day or visit really often, you put it in your bookmarks. But there are a whole bunch of sites where I'd want to remember the site, but just to visit it maybe once more.
Yeah,
or,
like say, or like you see a site on like, oh, this is how to make Apache do this one specific thing.
Yeah.
I'd like to remember that.
And back in the day, I would have to bookmark it or write it in a text file.
I remember I have like hundreds of bookmarks in all these different folders, and every month I'd get sick of them, and I'd put them all in another folder to sort them.
Yeah.
And then I'd never sort them.
And then, when it comes time to look for one site that you remember, you can't find it in there.
And I'd end up searching, that was even before Google, I'd be like, Yahoo.
So now Delicious is basically a replacement for that folder. When you find a site that's not the kind of site you visit every day, but like an article that's really interesting and you might want to see it again one day, you add it to your Delicious. And you add tags to it. A tag is basically free-form categorization. So if I post an article about, some scientific study of farting, I'll be like science, study, flatulence, poo gas, whatever. Those are all separate tags. And then in the future, you know, I'll go to my Delicious and I'll see my most recent links there right away. But if I know that there was a story about farting, I just type in a little /farting. You know, /poo gas. Could look at anything that I tagged with poo gas, and there's the link.
Or you can look at anything anyone else tagged with that and find related sites.
And it gets really interesting. You can look for things with combinations of tags. So you might look for something about video games. Someone else might put something up about music. If you're looking for video game music, you do video game plus music. And all of a sudden, you can start to find really interesting stuff in a way that Google can't really do.
That, and one thing I really find fascinating is how the tags evolve, because there's no, like, order to the tags. You just pick whatever kind of tagging system you like, and certain tagging systems tend to rise to the top. But I discovered that I use a lot of, like, private tags. Like, I have some tags that I use for me. Like, I have a tag, MWF, which is just all the webcomics that update on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Yeah.
And I do that to read my webcomics. And then I noticed that there are some other people who did the same thing. And whenever I find someone who uses the same kind of tagging stuff on their own that I came up with on my own, I watch their Delicious because they usually seem to be interested in the same kind of things I'm interested in.
Yeah, you can do other cool things with Delicious too. Like you can tag something with the word for colon, F-O-R colon. So if I put a tag on a link I post and I say for colon rim, it'll send it to you in your Delicious inbox. And it's pretty cool if a bunch of your friends use Delicious, because you can bind Deliciouses, or you can make up a tag between you and then watch the RSS feed of that tag, you know, to, if you have a club and you have a bunch of people in the club, you know, it's pretty cool.
Also, because it's open, as in you interface with it simply by typing in URLs like Delicious /tag/whatever, it's real easy to write little applications that do things for you with Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Real easy. Like, people who don't know anything about code can write, like, a wget or a bash script to get things from Delicious if they want.
Yeah, there's a lot of MP3 linking and all kinds of other cool stuff like that, too.
Yeah. Not that we condone piracy, but you can find a lot of piracy through Delicious.
Yeah, a lot of non-piracy. There's a lot of just perfectly okay free songs and videos.
Actually, that's
and things
a trend I've noticed
there.
Lately is that because the RIA and the NPA are getting so heavy and hard on piracy, the market is providing, and a lot of people are doing really cool things and not charging a dime and just putting it out there.
Yep. But anyway, I think we just want to take a minute. A lot of people don't use RSS properly or know what it is, and I think it needs to be explained.
Yeah, so if you already know what RSS is and you use it, you can probably stop listening.
Yeah. So RSS is basically, it stands for really simple syndication. And basically, you see a website that has a bunch of stories or separate articles that are chronologically in order. Maybe like, you know, Slashdot for one.
Yeah.
You know?
It updates at semi-random intervals and there's a headline and then something.
Yep. What people will do is they'll make an RSS feed, which is basically just a list of links with descriptions. And instead of visiting Slashdot every once in a while and seeing what stories are there, you use an RSS reader of some sort to subscribe to the feed. And you basically look in the reader and you'll see the list of stories there. Just a list of the headlines. And whenever there's a new headline, the list updates. So instead of visiting websites all day, you just have this list of headlines in a program somewhere, or maybe, you know, in Firefox, you have a bookmark folder, and the bookmarks in the folder keep updating throughout the day with the, you know, newest headlines, labeled them.
So all I do is look in my bookmarks, and, hey, there's a headline I didn't notice.
Yeah, and if there's a headline you don't really care about, you don't go to it.
Yeah. It's not great for every website. Some sites just don't lend themselves to it.
Yeah, it really, what you really want is a different kind of RSS reader for a different kind of website.
Yeah, like a site like Gizmodo or Engadget or Fark, you just want a list of the headlines.
Yeah, and you want it in a format like where they're all together in one list because it updates really frequently. You know, so you need to have something that's really efficient, you know, that you can just look at a glance and see what's new and see what's not. That's something that doesn't take a lot of effort to dig through all the time. You know, but something else like a blog where the guy posts maybe once a week with no set schedule. Firefox bookmarks are really great for that because you just look in your bookmarks every once in a while and see if there's a new thing there or not.
Yep, I just make a separate folder for everything like that with all my live bookmarks in it. And I just see whenever all the various blogs and crap I read update.
Yep.
So I don't have to check them.
The really hard ones to deal with are things like there's one, it's kind of a podcast feed. It's hype.nonstandard.net, non-standard.net. And what it does is it goes around to blogs and it collects any links to MP3s it finds in a blog, right? Well, the blogs that it has, it only checks certain blogs, but it checks a lot of them. So you can go there at any time and it shows you the hot music people are talking about in blogs. What you want to do is you want to have a thing that downloads all the music automatically. That's really hard to do. And there really isn't a reader that does that properly. And it kind of makes the site not as useful as it could be.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, RSS is still kind of an emerging technology because as much as it's really cool, but most people, even people who would really benefit from it, don't know about it or don't use it.
There's a lot of things people could really benefit from that they just don't know about and don't use, maybe because fear or not caring. But,
or just not knowing.
Or not knowing.
But, I mean, if no one tells you about it and you don't stumble upon it, you're not going to learn about it.
Yeah, but it's like people don't even, like, you know, something stinks. Like, it takes me forever to read all these websites. They don't even, and they say, I wish there was something. They don't even look. For 2 seconds, you'd be like, hey, what are those orange things I see on all the websites? You know, I wonder what those mean. You know, how many people who don't use Firefox that would make their lives 1,000 times better?
Yeah, yeah.
Believe it or not, there are people out there who see pop-up ads.
Oh, God. The goggles, they do nothing. And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the opening music.
Thanks for listening. Please remember to point your favorite podcatcher at feeds.feedburner.com/geeknights to get the latest episodes as soon as they're released. Also, please visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com for the latest updates and forum discussions. And whether you love or hate our podcast, we won't know unless you send your feedback to us at geeknights@gmail.com.